This morning, we're kicking off a new series called I Will Build My Church. I Will Build My Church. We've been in a process these last 10 months. How many know we've been in a transition? All right. How many of you ready to step into a new season? All right. Yeah, there you go. You guys are getting excited now. Many of you guys have asked me, how do we get connected? How do we get plugged in? What's the road to membership look like here at Real Life? And a lot of these last 10 months have been focused on getting healthy. And I'm happy to say we have been getting healthy. My first message when I came here was stop the bleeding. And it was, little did I know, it was a prophetic word. God gave me some supernatural insights on what we needed to focus on, what's been my first year here, and that is focusing on a healthy staff. How many want your staff healthy? A healthy staff, a healthy church, membership, leadership, and then healthy finances. And God has been breathing on us. He's been releasing health to us. And I believe we have stopped the bleeding. Amen? And I heard God say to me over the last couple of weeks, the bleeding's been stopped. I'm going to start the building. How many know when God stops the bleeding, he can start the building? And so many times, listen, we want to start building too soon, and we're hemorrhaging on the inside. And listen, God wants to lead us on this journey of how he, not Dean, not Amy, not this staff, but how he's going to build his church. And I appreciate everybody's patience this last 10 months, because I know it could seem like an eternity. In transition, when you're in transition and you see staff moving here and going there and different things happening, and hey, we never organized the chairs like that before, those kinds of things, right? And we get a little annoyed, but, and I'm making a little bit of light of that, but the thing is God is doing a new thing here at Real Life. And we have to position ourselves to grab a hold of that new thing, or we'll continue to do the old thing. And then we'll wonder, what happened here, right? We'll all look at each other, what's going on? But we're about to step into a new season. I want to challenge you. We're going to have a great Mother's Day next week. Amy has a panel that's going to speak to us, encourage all of our moms. I cannot wait. But the following week, we're going to continue this series. I'm launching it today, but I will build my church. And I want to challenge you, everyone here, to be here on May 20th, May 27th, June 3rd, and June 10th, four Sundays in a row. You guys think you could do it? This is what we're going to do. It's going to be different because I'm going to take you on a journey. We're going to actually be handing out fill-in-the-blank notes where you'll be just learning about our vision and our values and the vehicles that God is going to use us as to bring us where he's calling us in the future. And just as a small encouragement, if you make it to all those four Sundays, and you hand in, I'm going to ask you to hand in the notes all 4 weeks, and on that last Sunday, when you hand in your notes on June 10th, we are actually going to give everyone who's been here those 4 weeks a new t-shirt called RLC SAC, and check this out, a church that looks like heaven on the back, all right? I'm going to toss that to my wife there, but that's just an encouragement. That actually was made by Pastor Isaiah. And so he brings a lot of gifting to us, and we're thankful for that. But I am really excited about the future. And I do believe that we're stepping into a new season. Everybody say new season. But it's important, listen, that we understand that we're on his timeline. Let me try this side over here. It's important that we understand that we're on his timeline. Because listen, if we're patient with God's process, how many know you can't get anything without embracing God's promise? Not only his promise, but his process, right? We want the promise to come to pass right now, but it's his process that gets us ready for the promise. And so I see the promises clearly. I see what God is saying. I see where God is taking us. But as a church, we have to go up and embrace this process together. As I was preparing this morning, I thought of Just kind of a random thought, just wondering, I wonder what the foundation for the world's tallest building consists of. You guys even know what the world's tallest building is? I didn't. But in Dubai, it's the Burj Khalifa. It opened in January 4th, 2010, at a staggering 2,717 feet, more than half a mile high. How many know that's pretty tall? It easily overshadows the previous tallest building, which was in Taiwan, which was 1,671 feet, and it stands double the height of the renowned Empire State Building. Have you ever been on top of the Empire State? Now, I do not like heights. I've been on top of the Empire State Building. That is high enough for me. It's double that height. It accommodates, listen to this, it accommodates 12,000 people. It is the tallest man-made structure. The building, it has 160 floors. It has the highest elevator and world's fastest elevators, 40 miles per hour. You better hold on to yourself there, right? It's the first world's tallest structure to include residential space. It has the world's highest mosque on the 158th floor. And it's the world's highest swimming pool on the 76th floor. Pretty tall stuff. While most attention focuses on its height, perhaps more important is what lies beneath the structure. How many know without a solid foundation, the world's tallest building would become the world's longest pile of rubble? Underneath this building, 164 feet, there is 164 feet underneath the building. 58,900 cubic yards of concrete weighing 120,000 tons. How many know that's an important foundation right there? It took a year to build the foundation. A year. And so many times we get impatient as the body of Christ after 10 months. But how many of you know, listen, if we pay attention to the foundation, come on, God can take us higher. Come on, He can build us higher than we'd ever go instead of rushing on the foundation. So it is with great churches. What people see, what we marvel about, are the great heights to which some churches seem to soar. Yet supporting any truly great church is Jesus Christ at the foundation. How many know He's deep? How many know Jesus Christ is wide? Come on, it's His love that is at the foundation of every church, every ministry. It's His love that we can't build without. And that love, listen, the love of God has to have its work in us first. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Have you ever been frustrated? If you've ever built IKEA furniture, which I've done the last couple of weeks, you've been frustrated. You need the Holy Spirit's help when you're building IKEA furniture. Even with the instructions. I'd put it together, I'd get ready to stand it up, and I'd like, man, I put the drawers upside down. You know what I mean? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Matthew 16:15, I mentioned this verse last week. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Jesus talking to His disciples. And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18, and here's the key. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the prevailing church that Jesus Christ builds. Jesus says to Peter, listen, I will build my church on the revelation that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to build my church on the revelation that I am alive, that I am living in the earth today. Last week, I mentioned a prevailing church is one that looks for heaven to invade what hell deems as impossible. A prevailing church or ministry, listen, is not afraid to ask difficult questions. Questions like, where is hell prevailing in my community? How can we as a church oppose the powers of darkness that are at work in our community and city? We're not to shy away from these things. We're not to be silent on these things. We are to confront the darkness, not run away from it. And listen, what God has been laying the last 10 months is getting us ready and getting us in a position to confront the gates of hell. And that's what Revelation does. It releases us from the fear of asking the question nobody wants to ask. It's the revelation that causes us to have the conversations no one wants to talk about in the church. And it's the revelation that increases our faith to confront the impossible. You see, it's in the confrontation that Jesus hands us the keys to the kingdom. That's what revelation does. It releases us from the fear of asking the question nobody wants to ask. Listen, how many know you don't need the keys to something you aren't going to unlock? And yet, listen, we spend so much of our time as a church, as a people, listen, asking for the secrets, asking for the keys. And if God gave us the keys, we wouldn't do nothing but put them in our pocket. How many know you don't need the keys for problems you don't want to solve? You don't need the keys for a door you're not willing to walk through. How many of you have ever been to these new escape rooms? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Michelle, I've been to an escape room. There's one in Midtown. It's a team-building exercise. There's about 30 of us that went at Jesus Culture. We split up in teams, and they lock you in a room for 30 minutes. I'm sorry, 60 minutes. They lock you up in a room for 60 minutes, and then there's all these different kinds of clues and puzzles that you have to solve to get out. How many know if you don't solve the puzzles, you're locked in there for a while, right? But every puzzle you solve or every problem you solve, there's another key or there's another combination or another code. And so, like, we were game, man. Like, my team, we were going to win from the get-go. And so we're in there. We're, like, pressing on the walls, looking for secret passages, doing different things. And boom, here comes a key. We find a key. The next key unlocks this. The next key unlocks that. And pretty soon, like, I say pretty soon, probably like 58 minutes later, right? We emerge as the winning team. Now, what was interesting was that we were all into it. We were excited. And when we got out, we were celebrating, taking, you know, selfies. You know, we won this and this and that. But there were other teams that got, like, frustrated 15 minutes in and just quit. They just sat in the room. Literally, they just sat in the escape room, like, frustrated at each other, like, done, and just, like, sat there until the whole game was ended 60 minutes later. How do you know God only gives us the keys to the kingdom if we're willing to solve problems on earth that have society puzzled and paralyzed? God wants us to give the keys of the kingdom for problems, for issues that this world doesn't have the answer for. Paul affirms the revelation, this revelation, being the foundation on which the church is built. 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Everybody say Jesus Christ. There's power in that name. Jesus Christ, listen, must be the foundation of the church if the church is going to be, listen, the accurate expression of Jesus Christ to the world. The word accurate, and I really believe, listen, there is a lot of emphasis on identity in the church. There's a lot of emphasis on intimacy in the church, which is one of our values, is being intimate with God. But listen, we can't have identity, we can't have intimacy, and listen, ignore accuracy. You guys hear what I'm saying? We must reflect Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life to this world. Stay with me. If there was ever a time the church needed to conform to an accurate image of Jesus, it's now. Our accuracy as a church in expressing Jesus, and this is what I talked about a couple of weeks ago, depends on our biblical literacy as a church. In other words, if I want to express to you an accurate picture of Jesus, I have to explore God's word, which reveals Jesus. Listen, it doesn't matter if I get up here and listen every Sunday and tell you how Pastor Dean feels. Because you don't care how I feel. You want to know what God thinks. You want to know what God says. The accuracy of our expression of faith to the world is connected to the accuracy of our confession of faith, specifically our confessions about who Jesus is. And this is an expansive study on who Jesus is. We could spend all day, we could go all year doing this and never be done. But I want to focus on one confession of faith, and I want you to say it with me up here, and it's this. Can you go to the next slide? Will you say this with me? Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man in one person and will be so forever. Can we say it again? Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man in one person and will be so forever. He was fully human and he was fully divine. He was 100% humanity and 100% deity in the same person when he walked the earth. When we speak about the humanity and deity of Christ, it's appropriate to begin with the virgin birth of Christ. Now listen, I know it's not Christmas. It's only 232 more days, if you're wondering. But as I was kicking off this series and preparing my heart to tee this thing up for the next several weeks, I really was captivated by the Holy Spirit's involvement in Jesus' birth. I want us to just go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. You guys don't have it back there because this was just something that was a little spontaneous, so don't panic. Luke 1, verse 26 to 28 says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" How many know we need favor with God? "And behold, you conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." All of this he's saying to a teenager, by the way. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I'm a virgin?' And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, and behold, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible." Everybody say, "Nothing will be impossible." "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Here are some initial thoughts that, again, I'm kind of warming you up. But here are some initial thoughts after I read this passage. God always gives breath to something before he births something, and he always births something before he builds something. Let me say that again. God always gives breath to something before he births something, and he always births something before he builds something. So important to understand these principles that I'm about to share as we step into this new season as a church. You see, many times we're trying to birth something God isn't breathing on. And we're found trying to build something God hasn't given birth to. I'll give you an example. My first 4 years of youth ministry, and Lauren would know this very well. Him and I were, he was one of our youth leaders at the first church that we were both at, we grew up in together. And it seemed like everything I did worked. You ever just had that happen to you? Like every idea that I got from God and implemented, like God was breathing on it. He gave birth to it. I mean, it was amazing what he was doing through our little youth ministry there in Santa Rosa. I mean, everything just worked. Is it just me? You guys know what I'm talking about. Okay. And then when we transitioned from that church, we were at that church for 9 years. And when we transitioned to another church, all those things worked so well, I thought I would implement them and try them at the new church I was at. Little did I find out, didn't work. How many of that's happened to you before, right? The new church, listen, needed something fresh. The new church needed something that was unique to what it was called to do. In fact, nothing I did at my first church worked at my new church until I asked God what he wanted to breathe on, give birth to, and use me to build. And it looked totally different. I stopped doing all the things that I was doing at the first church, and I just started focusing. God just said, I just want you to pour into these kids. And Amy and I, we just get them in our living room, 12 kids, and we just invested our life in. And soon, that group went from 12 to 30. No, like, flashy, no icebreaker, no nothing. It was just us in our living room pouring into these kids. Looked totally different. Wasn't less than another thing. It was just different in what God wanted to do in that place. I want to give you God's building process, and I want us to catch this because it's so important to the season that we're heading into. First, the Holy Spirit has to breathe on it. He has to breathe on it, and that's his word. You guys will hear me, my staff will hear me say, I'll get an idea sometimes, right? I'll get an idea and I'll say, that has wind on it, right? If something has wind on it, I believe God is in it. And we have to recognize, listen, when God gives us an idea, when he puts something in our hearts, listen, we have to understand God is breathing on that thing. Luke 1:34 says, then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Secondly, the Holy Spirit has to give birth to it. What God wants to do here at Real Life in the future, the Holy Spirit has to give birth to it. That's his work. So we have his word, and then we have his work. You see in Matthew 1:18, it says, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. How many know the things we birth need to be from the Holy Spirit? And then lastly, when God's breathing on it, when the Holy Spirit's breathing on it, when the Holy Spirit gives birth to it, what happens is Jesus uses us as his tools to build his church. So you need God's breath. Listen, you need God's birth, right? But then God needs you as his builders. He's the one who builds the church, but God uses us as builders. Everybody say breathe, birth, build. Say it again. Breathe, birth, build. Let me just quickly summarize the doctrinal importance of the virgin birth, and I'm going to draw some parallel truths from it. Is that all right? Just real quickly this morning as we wind down. The first truth here is the virgin birth is an unmistakable reminder that salvation can never come through human effort, but must be the work of God himself. How many know our salvation can only come about through the supernatural work of God that was evident in the work of Jesus' life. His death on the cross, amen? That's the supernatural work. Just as salvation cannot come through human effort, but must be the work of God himself, the building of the church, listen, in this next season that we're stepping into, the building of real life church must not be of ourselves, but through the supernatural power of God that's available to us. The parallel principle is this: what we give birth to as a church has to be conceived and birthed by the Holy Spirit. You see, when someone asks me, "Pastor Dean, what do you think about starting such and such a ministry or community here at Real Life?" My first question is God telling you to start a such and such a ministry or a community here at Real Life? You guys hear what I'm saying? See, many times people are asking permission from the pastor to start something that he's never called the pastor to do. He's actually called you to do it, right? So you come to me, listen, you come to me and say, "This is heavy on my heart. I'm burdened." And you say, "What are we going to do about it, Pastor Dean?" And I look at you and I said, "I don't know. What's God saying to you? What's he speaking to you?" Because you're a critical piece of that. And listen, we've got to learn in this next season to step into and step out. Listen, don't let fear lock you up. Don't let fear lock you up. I've been telling you the last several weeks, God has been stirring some of you, giving you ideas. You've been wondering, why don't we have this or why don't we have this? It's because God's calling you to do this or that. And listen, in this next season, listen, someone gave me a word this week. It was powerful. They said, "Pastor Dean," they said, "God is moving Real Life Church from an audience to a body." From an audience to a body. Listen, we're not coming here on Sunday mornings, listen, to cheer on Pastor Dean. Great sermon, incredible worship, hallelujah. That's not what this is about. This is about equipping the church for the works of the ministry. It's for us, listen, together to do the stuff. For us to do the stuff. Not for me to get the accolades or the credit or look at what God is doing here in Real Life. Bless God, Pastor Dean, you're an incredible leader. No. It's what we're doing together, as I shared last week, as a family, as a body. Everybody healthy, everybody functioning, everybody doing their part. Oh, they might not see you up on stage, but listen, if you weren't getting the refreshments ready and getting them in the lobby, everybody be thirsty around here, right? It's the little things that's going to lift the level of who we are as a church. And listen, here's my commitment to you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to resource you. I'm going to walk alongside of you. I'm going to be saying, "You can do it. God has put that inside of you." But one of the things I'm not going to do is start something God told you to start. Because you know what happens? Then I'm doing five things, and everybody's going, "Great job, Pastor. How's your family? Great job, Pastor. How's your marriage? Great job, Pastor," right? It's the whole body functioning. I liken it to the singles community we started 4 weeks ago. It's just something that God was breathing on, something that I'd known that God wanted to start here, to launch here, and so we did it. We just stepped out. We just said, "God, you said it. You're breathing on it. Let's birth it. You're birthing it. Let's facilitate that." Boom. Over 30 singles show up. Week after week after week, right? And now we have a singles community that are saying, "Pastor Dean, you can't stop this. You can't stop this. We need this. We need each other." That's how it works. Listen, when God breathes, what God breathes, he births. What he births, he builds. It's not on me. I'm not stressed out. Because if God said it, I know he'll birth it. And if he births it, I know he'll build it. Second thing, you guys still with me? I'm almost done. The birth of Christ made possible the uniting of full deity and full humanity in one person. When you observe the life of Jesus throughout Scripture, people encountered both his humanity and his deity. They encountered Jesus in person and got introduced to his power. Amen? Here's the parallel principle I want to draw out. Just as Jesus was fully human and fully divine, the church must be an expression of both. We can't just identify with people's humanity and lose touch with his deity. And we can't be so consumed with the divine that we lose touch with humanity. Do you guys hear what I'm saying? It's not an either or. It's a both and. Come on, we need the supernatural power of God, and we need the supernatural things that touch people right where they're at. And we need to see, listen, a merging of the two. And I'm just telling you, it's possible. Listen, some people think you've got to be all of this, and all of this is no good. But I'm telling you, God wants to merge both. That's who he's created your pastor to be. Listen, I've always had a hunger for the supernatural, but I've always seen God use the super practical to facilitate what he wants to do. I've always seen it that way. Super practical. I'm sure you've heard this saying. Oliver Wendell Holmes said it. He said, some people are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. That saying's annoying. I love how C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity kind of reflects on that quote. He says, if you read history, you will find that Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most about the next. The apostles themselves who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this world. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. You know, I have a huge heart for social justice. Love social justice. In fact, our friends right here are leaders of social justice in our community. And as it should be and will continue to be, it'll be the forefront of this church and this region. I believe that's one of the things that you see championed in this area all the time. But something that City of Refuge is especially known for, and what I believe the church needs to be known for, even more powerful than social justice, listen, is when it's connected to supernatural justice. You need both, right? Anybody, literally anybody can do social justice, right? Anybody can do social justice, but not everybody can do social justice connected with supernatural justice, connected with the cross of Calvary. Listen, how many know anybody can take somebody off the streets, but only Jesus can take the streets off an individual? Only Jesus can break the oppression off an individual. Only Jesus can break addiction off an individual. Only he can do that. And so you need social justice and supernatural justice. And that's what people encountered when they encountered Jesus. They got both. It's not one or the other. And even in charismatic circles like our own, we think we have to make a choice, and we don't. We just have to love people and watch the supernatural healing power, love of God, touch people right where they're at. Can you guys tell I'm a little passionate? And lastly, the virgin birth makes possible Christ's humanity without inherited sin. Luke 1:35, and the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy. Everybody say holy, the Son of God. 1 Peter 2:22, He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. I love that. You see that exchange? The righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. 1 John 2:1, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And I like this, because he says, but if you do, right? But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You see, Jesus' sinless life qualified him to be the sacrifice to die for our sins, past, present, and future, so that the church could become the spotless bride he's called us to be. That's why last week I told you, listen, church isn't supposed to be a place, listen, where we put on phony smiles, listen, and act like everything's okay. No, church is a place, listen, where we come just as we are and say just how it is so that we can get healthy again. We don't have to hide these things. Listen, the word talks about, listen, when we confess our sins one to another, listen, that's when healing starts to happen. And though, listen, it can be awkward, it can be interesting at times, listen, we have to be vulnerable. Listen, if we're going to step into health, we're going to step into wholeness. I'm going to ask Lauren to come and just pray softly, but Romans 8:1 says, so now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined, listen, in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Here's the key. Here's one of the keys. Just as there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, listen, there should be no condemnation coming from those who are in the church of Christ Jesus. You guys hear what I'm saying? The church should be the hope of the world. The church, listen, we shouldn't be the condemning voice, we should be the courageous voice. The rest of that verse says, yet God sent his son in human form to identify with human weakness, clothed with humanity. God's son gave his body to be the sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin. So now every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living his life in us. Listen, and we are free to live not according to our flesh, but the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. How many want to walk in the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit as a family? Listen, as a family, so many times we're thinking about how this stuff works out in our life, right? As an individual. Well, I prophesy and I do this and I do that and this is my gifting. But what's our gifting together? What's it look like when the entire church is walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit that God's given us access to? Here's the parallel principle I want to give to you in closing. Christ's sinlessness rendered the devil powerless and gives his church access to walk in the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, listen, because he was 100% humanity, 100% deity, listen, we don't have an inheritance of sin. We have an inheritance that is divine. An inheritance of the saints, Ephesians 1 talks about it. Christ's sinlessness rendered the devil powerless and gives his church access to walk in the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, God wants to breathe, he wants to birth, and he wants to build. And I want to ask you, just for a moment, I'm going to just sit here in this quietness just for a moment. How does God want to use you in this next season? How does he want to use you in this next season? Come on, you've been waiting. Some of you have been saying, I've been waiting on you, Pastor. But what is God stirring in you? Are you going to step with us from that transition from audience to body, full functioning? Not just coming here and watching, but actually coming and engaging your family, engaging your body, and saying, what can I do to serve? Will you stand with me?
know, Amy and I, we just moved into a neighborhood right off of East Commerce, and they're building a lot of new homes. And I noticed that, first of all, man, they build these houses so fast. It's like, man, I look and I'm like, there's no houses, and then I look the next day and there's like three, right? But one of the things that I noticed this week is that the foundation, they pour that foundation and then it sits for about a week or two. And I watched this one house. It sat for a week or two. No, nothing happened to it. It just sat there. I'm sure they were getting all the inspections and different things done to it. And then all of a sudden, the next day, all the sides were up on it. There was no roof. All the sides. The next day, the roof was on top of it. And then yesterday, Josiah and I were going out to dinner, and I looked up, and the house is stuccoed. It looks like, I mean, it's ready to go. They're just doing the inside now, and I'm going, wow. And I just felt like the Lord said, Dean, I'm getting ready to do that. He said, the sides are going up, the roof is going on, the stucco's going on, and it's going to happen faster than you think. And I just want to encourage you, listen, the last 10 months, listen, we've been pouring a foundation. It's Jesus Christ has been at the foundation of this thing. But listen, things are going to start happening faster. They're going to start happening. We got to be ready, church. We got to be ready. Will you just lift your hands to Him? Lord, I just thank You. Thank You, God, that we are, God, Your tools. And God, You want to use us mightily to build, Lord, this house. And Your church in the greater Sacramento region. And so, God, I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, God, You would stir us, God, that You, God, would breathe, God, ideas. You would breathe dreams. Lord, You would even bring back life to things that have been dead, life to things that have been stagnant, life to things, oh God, that You're wanting to call forth, Lord, in people's lives. I pray in Jesus' name that You begin to breathe. Lord, that there be a rattling of the bones in this place, oh God. And Lord, what You breathe on, I pray for birthing, God. I pray for the birth of ministries, the birth of communities, the birth of small groups, the birth of big visions, small visions. Lord, whatever You want to do, Lord, we ask for the Holy Spirit to give birth to those things. Lord, I thank You, Lord. And Lord, I ask You, God, to use us as Your tools to build what You want to do here, God, at Real Life in the greater Natomas area. God, stir us. Stir us. Release vision in the coming weeks, God. Release vision in the coming weeks, God. Lord, that we may run. That we may run with You, God. That we may run with You. God, we're committed to breathe, to see You birth these things, and we're committed to see You build these things. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we just give the Lord praise? Amen. Praise God.